Hello, it's Psalm 61, and in the Church Bibles, it's page 579. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Increase the days of the king's life, his ears for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Then I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day.
Before we start, though, let's pray to our Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your word. Thank you that your word teaches us more of what you are like. It is our longing this morning that you would speak to us, that each one of us would leave here knowing something more of you and more of your Son, the Lord Jesus. So we pray that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, have any of you felt far from home? Have any of you felt far from home? Got a hand up from Keziah. I don't necessarily mean physically far from home. What I mean is that sense of feeling distant, of feeling adrift, or feeling alone. For me, I felt something of that during my first year at university. I grew up in Bristol, and I remember feeling really excited about the prospect of going to university, for all of the opportunities that it was going to bring. And unfortunately, it only took a couple of weeks for that enthusiasm to disappear. Now, everyone's different, but for me, I really struggled with that first year of university. You see, Oxford was a lovely place to live, but the pressure to perform, the constant deadlines, the sense that I simply wasn't keeping up with everyone else around me, left me feeling that I just couldn't cope. Because of that, I stopped socializing with people, I stopped doing the hobbies that I enjoyed. Soon enough, I stopped going to church as well. I felt overwhelmed, far from home, and far from God. Now I wonder, have you ever felt like that? If you're a child, maybe there are times where you felt sad, or lonely, or scared. And there should be a box on your sheets where you can write down something of how that felt like. Overwhelmed, far from home, and far from God. And that's exactly how the psalmist feels at the beginning of Psalm 61, which we're looking at this morning. Now, over the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a look at three passages from the book of Psalms. It's a book that many of us will be very familiar with, and it's often referred to as the songbook of God's people. That's because in it we find a collection of songs and prayers which deal with different aspects, different emotions that we come across in the Christian life. So whether that's joy and praise, all the way through to grief and despair, we find a response to them in the book of Psalms. And the tagline for our mini-series, which you can see on the screen, is singing in tune with God. So we want to look at how God's people have responded to different emotions, different circumstances through the ages, and see how the truths of God's character speak into those situations. In all seasons of life, are we singing in tune with God's character and with the response, the experience of his people through the centuries? So if, like me, you've ever felt overwhelmed or you've ever felt far from God, then let's see what Psalm 61 has to say to us. Now you'll notice from the subheading, the tagline at the top, this psalm was written by King David. And there are three things that we're going to see as we work through it this morning. We're going to see David's cry, David's confidence, and because I'm sort of great-ish at alliteration, David's king sort of works. David's cry, David's confidence, and David's king. So first then, David's cry, or for the children on your sheets, perhaps more fully, David's cry to God. Verse 1, hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. We're not told anything about the specific circumstances that David was in when he wrote this psalm. It might be that he is physically far away. From the ends of the earth, I call to you, he says. And some have suggested that that might mean it was written at the time of Absalom's rebellion, when David had to physically flee from Jerusalem for his own safety. But the truth is, we don't know what was happening, what trial he was facing. All we know is how he feels. Far away, as though he's crying out to God from the ends of the earth. Emotionally and spiritually, he feels isolated, distant from home and from God. And what's more, he feels weary. He feels overwhelmed. I call as my heart grows faint, he says. So whatever these challenges, these circumstances are, they clearly weigh heavily on him. He feels weak and vulnerable, unable to cope with the challenges that lie before him. I wonder, can any of us sympathize with how David feels? That sense of feeling distant from God, of feeling just overwhelmed by the circumstances that you're facing. Spiritually, that sense of being at the ends of the earth. Probably for all of us, we will have felt like this at one time or another. Maybe it's a specific circumstance, ill health, perhaps, times of financial difficulty, relationship breakdown. If we're young, maybe it's the pressure of exams, or difficult times at school. Or maybe it's simply the day-to-day stress of your responsibilities at work, at home, care for children, for elderly parents. Sometimes life just feels overwhelming. And in those moments, God can feel a very long way away. So what does David do? Verse 1. He cries out to God. Hear my cry, O God. Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David knows that the right response in his weakness and in his distress is to turn to God and to cry for help. Even though he feels that he's at the ends of the earth, he doesn't despair or lose hope. He turns his face to God and cries, hear my cry, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Take me to the place of refuge and of safety, he's saying. That place where I'm able to stand secure. Now, this idea of a rock as a place of safety, a place of security, appears all throughout the Psalms. And as he cries out, I wonder what David has in mind. Maybe he's thinking back to his days as a shepherd boy, tending to the flocks amongst predators, lions. Then perhaps he may have climbed up on a rock, a vantage point above those dangers and threats. Or maybe he's recalling the time that he had to flee from Saul when his life was at risk and he hid in the shelter of a cave. Whatever he had in mind, David knew personally that security can be found in the shelter of a rock, something solid and secure. But specifically, he cries out, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." In order to provide any kind of refuge, this rock must be higher and stronger than David himself. That's the only way it's going to lift him above the dangers of his present circumstances. The only problem is, the very thing that makes the rock secure is the one thing that stops David getting himself there. He isn't able to reach it. He needs God to lead him there. But what is this rock that David longs for? And here we see that the reason for David's confidence, so our second heading, his confidence that God is the one able to provide this refuge and strength. We read in verse 2, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe." David's confidence comes from the fact that the rock he longs for is God himself. "You, God, have been my refuge." And this comes from his previous experiences. He looks back and reminds himself of God's faithfulness to him in the past. When enemies had surrounded him, God himself had been David's refuge. As he says, a strong tower against the foe. In fact, in this passage, David gives us four metaphors, or four pictures, to help us understand what it means for God to be our help and our refuge. And so, children, you should find on the back of your sheets, you have some pictures that you can circle to try and remind you of what these images are. We've already seen two of them. God is our rock. And then in verse 3, God is our strong tower, or our tower of refuge. What do these two images have in common? Well, they both emphasize that God is a strong and a mighty protector, one who is able to shield us from the troubles that afflict us, one that can raise us up above our adversaries. In him we are secure because he has a strength and a power which is far greater than our own. But David continues, "I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. For you, God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." And here, the picture changes. Here, God's protection is described first in terms of a tent and then a mother bird, one sheltering her chicks underneath her wings. And I can't be the only one who thinks that compared to the high rock and the strong tower, these images initially don't appear as secure, do they? But notice that these are where David yearns to be. "I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." We see that if the first two images spoke of the security of God's power. These second images speak of the security of God's presence. The tent of God, of course, principally refers to the tabernacle, that place where God himself dwelt in the midst of his people during their time in the wilderness. In Exodus 40, we read these words: "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." This was the place where the Almighty God came to dwell amongst his people. So to dwell in God's tent is more than just being protected by stone or by rock. This is to be kept safe by the very presence of the Almighty God himself. And the second image is even more intimate. As David likens the protection that God provides to that of a baby bird being kept safe by the wings of its mother. This is a picture of that intimate relational love and care that God shows towards his children. Where could possibly be safer than this? You see, at first glance, these pictures may appear weak or fragile. Certainly in the world's terms, it's obvious how a rock or a strong tower might provide protection. But a tent? The wings of a bird? But the truth is quite the opposite. Our confidence does not only come from God's strength and his power, but from his intimate, loving care that he shows to us, his people. That he welcomes us into his presence, and we receive that care under the shelter of his wings. The question is, do you believe that? In those moments of trial, in those moments where you feel overwhelmed, where is it that you turn for refuge? For some of us, maybe we turn to our own strength. We look to ourselves to get us out of trouble. Or perhaps we look to the security that the world offers us. Do you trust that the greatest security you can find comes from drawing near, stepping into the presence of your Heavenly Father, seeking refuge in his presence under the care that you find in the shelter of his wings? So we've seen David's cry, his cry to God when he feels overwhelmed and far off. We've seen his confidence, these four pictures that help us to understand the kind of protection that God gives to his people. And now, in verses 6 and 7, we come to the final point, David's king. There's a slight change of tone in these verses. Up until now, everything that David has said has been in the first person. Hear my cry, verse 1. From the ends of the earth, I call to you, for you have been my refuge. But now, David turns to pray for the king. If we look down at verse 6, he says, increase the days of the king's life, his years for many generations. May he be enthroned in God's presence forever. Appoint your love and faithfulness to protect him. Now, this might be a little bit confusing, because most likely, as David writes this, David is the king. So why is David talking about himself in the third person? I think there are three main options that might explain this. The first is to say that David is writing this as a song for others to sing. If you look at the heading, we read it was written for the director of music with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. So it could be that David is simply phrasing it for others to sing about him. That's possible. Perhaps more likely is the suggestion that David isn't speaking simply about himself. Instead, his prayer is a general one for the office of the king, as it were. Increase the days of the king's life, being essentially a prayer for the prosperity of the throne. A bit like the turn of phrase, long live the king, in the modern day. However, there is a very important clue in verse 7. May he, that's the king, be enthroned in God's presence forever. What king could be enthroned in God's presence forever? And at this point, we may recall a prophecy that had previously been given to David by the prophet Nathan. We read it in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And it's when God promises to David that there would come from him a descendant who would indeed reign forever. We read these words: "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." So it seems that here in Psalm 61, we have an example of David speaking beyond what he fully knows. Ultimately, these words will only be fulfilled fully in the Lord Jesus, the one who will sit and is seated on the throne in God's presence forever, the one whose kingdom shall know no end. And it's at this point that the deeper meaning behind this whole psalm comes into focus. Because Jesus alone is that Messiah King, the one who would be enthroned in God's presence forever. Jesus is the one to whom the tabernacle, God's tent of meeting, pointed. In him, we read in John's Gospel, God came and dwelt or tabernacled among us. Jesus is also the one who in Matthew 23 said these words: "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." And Jesus is the rock, that solid foundation on which we are to build our lives, firm and secure. See, ultimately, Jesus is the one in whom we find refuge, both from the storms and the trials that we face in this life, but also our refuge from the greater danger that we all face, the wrath of God that will one day be poured out on the sin of mankind. And so although David did not know that fully, when he spoke of a king who would be enthroned in God's presence forever, he spoke of the Lord Jesus, the one whose reign will be upheld and marked by God's covenant love and faithfulness, as David prays in verse 7. And so we come to the end of the psalm, a psalm which began in turmoil and in distress, as David cried out, overwhelmed that sense of being at the ends of the earth. Now he concludes with words of praise. Verse 8, I will ever sing in praise of your name and fulfill my vows day after day. Notice the transformation between verse 1 and verse 8. He who started feeling far off, overwhelmed, faint of heart, now rejoices in the character and the person of his God. I will ever sing in praise of your name, he says. Now, David's circumstances haven't changed. He's still in the same situation, whatever it was that he was in before, but he's been reminded of the nature of the God that he cries out to. A God who is his rock of refuge and strength. A God who welcomes and tenderly cares for him as a mother bird shelters her chicks beneath her wings. And the right response, as we see in David, is to praise and to serve God each and every day. There is no day from now all the way through into eternity where God is not worthy of our praise for who he is and for all that he has done for us. Now, some of us here this morning may very well today feel the way that David felt at the start of the psalm. Weary, overwhelmed, far from God. And maybe, in truth, that's how you've been feeling for a long time. If that is you, please let this psalm encourage you. Continue to cry out to God. Each day, ask as David did, and that he would lead you afresh to that rock that is higher than I, to that rock, the Lord Jesus. And if that is you, my prayer this morning is that as you do that, you would find comfort, you would find refuge in the character of the God that you pray to, and in his tender care beneath the shelter of his wings. And for all of us, may this reminder of who our God is stir within us a heart of praise, a heart that will praise him day after day, in both good times and in bad. May we turn to him in praise and thanks for who he is and for what he's done. Let's do that now together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for all that this psalm reveals to us of what you are like. That you are a God who protects us, who cares for us, and that you are that rock, that strong tower, that you welcome us into your presence and intimately, lovingly care for us in the shelter of your wings. Lord, I want to pray particularly for anyone here this morning who feels today how David felt. Father, I pray that amidst the circumstances that they are facing, would they find comfort in these words and would they find them to be true? Would you indeed be their rock and strong tower? Would you welcome them and hold them close? And Father, to anyone who doesn't yet know you, I pray, Lord, would you lead them to the rock that is higher than they are? Would you lead them to the Lord Jesus? All these things, Father, we pray in that precious and glorious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.